DenverStiffs.com is the website. Our friend Andrew Feinstein running the show over there. And Andrew, as you write today at DenverStiffs.com, the Nuggets, well, they definitely did not get better, but they sure did get taller, didn't they?
Yeah, that's good morning to you, Nate. It's something that no one seems to be talking about. You know, all season the Nuggets were ridiculed. The Nuggets curmudgeon at Denver Stiffs called them the Denver Midgets all season. And in theory, we could start a front line of Mozgov, Gallinari, and Nene. That would be the tallest front line in the NBA.
Do you think that's what the starting five is going to be? Because the way that I look at it is you still start Nene and Kenyon, and you put Wilson Chandler into the three, Lawson and Aflalo, and I feel as though if that's your starting five, you don't disrupt what your current rotation is all that much.
Well, you're probably right. I mean, I'm kind of coming from the wishful thinking category here. But the bottom line is the Nuggets have a lot of options. They go 12 deep now. We don't have a superstar. We don't even have an all-star. But we have 12 deep. I mean, the Nuggets have backups to backups to backups at every position.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Andrew, when you woke up this morning, how did you feel when you woke up today? Now that you look back on the whole thing, now that it's all said and done, as a fan, as a blogger, as a season ticket holder, what's kind of the emotions that you're going through today?
Well, I'm going to have to give you a bit of a nuanced answer. I don't know if that works at 11 a.m. on sports radio.
Why not? Bring it. Bring it.
Okay, as a general statement, I think that we as fans need to support what Josh Kroenke and Masai Ujiri are doing here. I think they deserve a lot of credit for not panicking and getting as good of a trade as they could have gotten given these very difficult circumstances. When your star player says, I'm going to City X, and he only picks one place, they were somehow able to get a bidding war going, and I think they got a pretty good haul here. That said, I'm going to be writing a column tomorrow, very critical of the fact that they are asking us as season ticket holders to pay the same prices for next season. And if they are going to be calling for an era of financial austerity from their players and from the way they do business, then the fans should be getting a discount as well. The tickets are absurdly overpriced. They were able to get away with it because Carmelo was here, because they had the allure of the playoffs. But to charge us the same prices with that allure being gone, I think that's unacceptable.
Yeah, they got $3 million cash. They should be spreading the wealth a little bit here.
Well, I think that I'm going to write extensively about this. I'm in favor of the trade. I support the trade. I think fans should support the trade. But we need to support it with our dollars in a smarter way.
Yeah, they saved $13.2 million in luxury tax payments as a result of this trade. Interesting perspective right there out of Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, our good friend here joining us here on the show. Andrew, your thoughts towards Carmelo Anthony. I'm imagining that you wrote you read Benjamin Hockman's novel today in the Denver Post, all about Melo. Basically, in the picture that that Hockman painted based on his interviews and conversations with his sources, there was no convincing Carmelo Anthony to stay in a Nuggets uniform. What are your thoughts on Melo as he leaves town?
Well, first of all, it was great to wake up this morning to read Hockman's piece. It was a terrific piece, and it's just great to have Benjamin back on the beat. As far as Melo never wanting to be here, Nate, you and I have been beating that drum since day one. And I think the Nuggets had LeBron James stayed in Cleveland, I believe Melo may have stayed here. But if LeBron James was going to leave his own hometown, even though that team did everything it could to build a winner around him, why would Carmelo Anthony leave a place that he doesn't even live in the off season? Even though the Nuggets built, I thought, a pretty good team around him. So I never thought Carmelo wanted to stay here. And for Melo to pretend that it was the organization's uncertainty that sent him out the door is just, it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, it's a cop-out move. And, yeah, I mean, Hockman writes about that, and Melo certainly had his frustrations with it. The retiring of Tim Gergerich after Warkentin was gone was a frustrating situation for Carmelo. But let's face it, this guy wanted to be in a Knicks uniform all along. And back to what we talked about just a second ago, give Josh Kroenke and Masai Ujiri that much more credit. They manufactured a bidding war out of a situation that didn't require one bit, because Melo was only going to go to one place, and yet they managed to scare the Knicks front office, particularly James Dolan and Isaiah Thomas, not Donnie Walsh, who was savvy and wasn't buying this crap, but he got Dolan and Isaiah Thomas to be scared enough of New Jersey that they got this big of a package in return. Look, there's no question. All right, Melo got what he wants. Melo wins. The Knicks got what they want. The Knicks win. They get a superstar player. But I think the Nuggets handled themselves pretty well through all this.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Right before Christmas, I wrote a Carmelo Christmas carol at Denver Stiffs. And the ghost of Christmas future was Isaiah Thomas, who was taking Carmelo through his life in New York and had returned to the Knicks to ruin the organization. Now, I was writing that in jest, but be careful what you wish for, Carmelo, because it sounds like Donnie Walsh might be on his way out the door, and you're going to get to work under Isaiah Thomas, and all I can say is good luck with that.
Yeah, I look at the Knicks right now, and what a friggin' mess that organization is now. Yes, you have Stoudemire, but I talked to Rick Bucher of ESPN yesterday on the show, and Bucher pointed out, hey, every time Stoudemire's going to the bench right now, he's putting heat wraps on his knees, okay? This guy is not 100%, and he's been carrying the Knicks on his back. Now, Melo being there is going to take the load off of him tremendously. I will say this, though, okay? Isaiah Thomas drove the Knicks straight into the ground, but he was dumb as a fox on this one because he did land Chauncey Billups, and I think that's the key to the Knicks' success going forward. The fact that they have Chauncey, a defensive-minded point guard. Yes, he doesn't really play D'Antoni's style, but having him with that group, I think, is what makes them better than I think a lot of people do.
You're absolutely right, and I don't think that's being discussed enough either, just like no one's talking about how big the Nuggets just got all of a sudden. But Chauncey Billups was having a very good season here. He had a bad first month, and everybody, at least at our site, Denver Stiffs, was worried that he was over the hill. He was finished. Chauncey's played terrific basketball for the last couple of months, and they're going to be a good team. I mean, look, you could put Chauncey Billups, Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, and you and me on the floor, Nate, and we'd get to the playoffs in the East, okay? The East is a joke, and the Knicks are going to be very good, but they're going to be very thin, and they're not particularly tall. I do think it's not a great trade for the Knicks, but I do think in the long run, having those stars in place will attract other free agents, and I do think the Knicks will benefit from this in the long run.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Read his post-Melo era beginning with lots of depth thread that he's got going right now. Also, and you brought up Masai Ujiri's quotes that we got these guys to play for the Nuggets. David Aldridge tweeting that last night. Mark Spears was with me last hour, and he is hearing those same things out of the Nuggets front office, that they're not going to make any trades going further. Hockman was not quite so confident in that earlier in the show. Hockman said, I don't think the Nuggets are necessarily done dealing yet. And that could be a big part of why they did the deal on a Monday night. Give themselves, you know, at least two and a half more days until the trade deadline to get a little bit more done. But you look at this group right now. What are your thoughts on this current Nuggets roster? If they don't make any further moves, if this is the group, do you like this team? And do you like their chances of having a nice spark lit under them by this trade?
Well, I kind of unfairly attacked Gallinari's defense the other day.
He's a flopper, man. He's a good flopper.
Well, he is a good flopper, and I will tell you this. I stood right next to Danilo Gallinari at the Las Vegas Summer League. We ended up getting out of an elevator together in Vegas. This guy is enormous. He's enormous. I've stood right next to Nene, shoulder to shoulder, and Nene lies about his height by about 2 inches.
Oh, yeah.
Gallo, on the other hand, I couldn't believe how big this guy was. And if he is the second coming of Andrea Bargnani, or even if he's a poor man's Dirk Nowitzki, I would hang on to him. And I think that the Nuggets, look, it's tempting to trade them and get maybe a first-round pick here or there, but the more I think about it, I like Gallo being here. And like I said at the outset of this call, I mean, you could have a 7-footer, a 6-foot-9 power forward, and a 6-foot-10 small forward. That's a tough team to go up against, and Gallo can shoot. He can shoot. I mean, maybe he'll one of my readers had a great line. Maybe we'll start saying Gallo instead of Melo.
Ah, there you go.
Stadium on Thursday.
There you go. You could always go in that direction. Wait, we'd always think about the marketing perspective, Andrew.
I'm sorry. right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very well done.
Well, speaking of marketing, you haven't accepted my invitation as my honored guest to the Carmelo Anthony going away party on Friday night that I'm hosting.
Yeah, tell me about this party. What's going on Friday night?
Well, I'm involved in a new bar-restaurant named Jake's. It's at 38th and Walnut, just a few minutes from Coors Field. And we're going to have a Carmelo Anthony slash Chauncey Billups going away party. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to get a bunch of Nuggets fans together. We're going to have the Nuggets-Blazers game on all nine of the flat-screen TVs because we're going to watch the new-look Nuggets together. And we're going to celebrate the era that was and kick off the era that's going to be.
All right, Friday night I will be there, my friend.
All right, well, I look forward to hosting you. Drinks on me.
All right, and don't call me your honored guest. Otherwise, people are going to stop RSVPing and stop showing up. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Andrew, last thing. All right, I've asked every guest that I've had on the show today, and as of right now, you are my final scheduled guest of the three-hour program. But and I've been pretty, not incredibly surprised, but a little bit surprised about everybody's optimism in this. But, okay, here we are, 32-25, 16 games remain. In the regular season, or excuse me, 25 games remain in the regular season. George Karl thinks it will take 16 wins for the Nuggets to get there. Can this group, I'm calling them the Go-Go Nuggets, can this group get to the postseason?
Okay, can and will are separate questions. Yes, they. Okay, here's the thing. They can. They have enough pieces that they can. The problem is the schedule is brutal, and no one's talking about that. No one is talking about that. We've got to play Boston when this team debuts on Thursday, Portland back-to-back Friday. We got to play the Hawks Monday. Just look at the schedule. We still have to go into Atlanta, into Orlando, into Miami. We've got to play the Spurs. We've got to play at Utah. It's going to be very difficult getting those 16 wins, and I'm very suspect on our ability to make the playoffs. Let's say it this way. If you have vacation plans for early May and you're worried about it, don't worry about the Nuggets being in the playoffs.
All right. So, Andrew Feinstein, really the first guy coming on the show and poo-pooing the Nuggets' chances to get to the postseason.
Let me be clear. I think they can, but I'm looking at the April schedule right now. We got to play in L.A., Oklahoma City, then in Dallas on a back-to-back, then in Oklahoma City in 5 days. And that's just April.
Oh, my God. And then they come home, and it's Minnesota and Golden State. How are they going to do this?
No, but I'm telling you, dude, this is going to be a very, very tough 16 games. I'm serious. It's going to be very tough. The good thing is this. Rudy Gay is hurt in Memphis. Utah is imploding. Phoenix is irrelevant. And Portland's guaranteed to get hurt again. So maybe we will make the playoffs.
Your pessimism is supported with strong anecdotal evidence. Therefore, I will always take that argument. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Read the website. And Friday night, get down Jake's 38th and Walnut. Going to be the big Carmelo Anthony going away party. You don't want to miss it. Andrew, good stuff. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Nate. You take care.
All right, there he goes. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com.